Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. So hello, everybody. Today we have Mary Browning with us, and she is with the Justice Foundation, and we're so excited to have her and talk about some of the legal things and how actually these things are helping fight against the abortion industry and all the abortion laws and just everything that's going on in there, everything evil in the world, but also to help you know how to minister to your ladies and give them a voice. And so, Mary, thank you for coming. I'd like you just to share a little bit about your story and how you got started with the Justice Foundation.
Thank you. Thank you, Mindy. I'm so glad to be part of your program today. I had an abortion when I was 18, and sad to say, I was many, many years before I actually spoke about it. But when I did begin speaking about it, I realized there was a whole army of people out in the world who were offering abortion recovery. So I am so grateful to programs such as this one and those of you that are offering abortion recovery, because I think there are many people like me. I was hiding in the shadows of shame. And to be honest, I believed the lie that the secret was safer than the truth. And for a long time, I just held that secret, believing that I couldn't tell, I couldn't speak of what I had done. And so I'm just thankful that this program and others is shining a light and exposing the truth, and the truth about the harm of abortion and the need for recovery. So
I love that term, hiding in the shadows of shame. That's powerful. So glad you're with us, Mary.
Yeah. Thank you, Linda.
And you said you felt like the secret was safer than the truth. And isn't that how we all kind of think that that perversion of truth there, you know, a secret is not safer. And that's really not the truth. I don't know why I said it that way either. But anyway, so I want to talk about a little bit about, and maybe you can determine the best way to talk about this, because this is really so far outside of my understanding and my wheelhouse as far as legal stuff goes. And I really have a hard time looking at legal stuff and talking about this kind of stuff. So I'm really excited to have you. But there are declarations that I know I signed years ago, and I never knew what happened. I never really understood the value of them. And so if you could talk a little bit about what those are, because I know many of us have them. I know in CareNet, they're part of the forms that are now sent out digitally. So yes, to really understand why we're having the ladies fill those out and the importance of that.
Mindy, the declaration is a legally admissible statement because the way it is written, it's and the way it's formulated. So it gives an opportunity for people to put a purpose behind the pain. So it is in the declaration, you say what your experience was and what kind of abortion you had, whether you were informed of the consequences and whether you understood the risks, even whether was it your idea or someone else's idea. And then what is the harm that you now know has come from your abortion? And what we find, and is true for myself, when I look at the fact that I was promiscuous, I have had difficulty sustaining relationships. I have had low self-esteem in my personal life, but not in my professional life. And so when you try to sort through, well, why have I had these challenges? And for the longest time, I didn't even recognize the connection between having had an abortion and the personal challenges that I faced in my life as I struggled to sort of sort through. But because I was holding the secret, I wasn't telling anybody, even myself. I denied to myself the impact the abortion had had on my life. And so it's important for women and men who are going through recovery. And as they examine, and even if they haven't gone through recovery yet, but recognize the harm, some women are no longer able to conceive after they've had abortion. And some women have addiction issues. I had an addiction issue, but I was addicted to work. So that was a more socially acceptable. It was still has consequences, but mine was a more acceptable form of acting out and manifesting from the pain. But so that's the reason to sign the declaration is to bring purpose to the pain and to tell the truth about what is really happening and what the aftermath of abortion is. And I think it's so important for us to be raising our voices now and for programs such as yours that are educating people, because many of the people in the abortion recovery arena know of the pain and they've heard a lot of the stories, but a lot of the public have not yet. So I thank you for doing this.
You know, I want to go back to something that you said right in the beginning, that it's a legally admissible statement. And I think this wouldn't have caught my attention years ago, but today, with the fear that's going out from the other side about, you know, especially in states that have really tight restrictions on abortion, that you can't, you know, if you make a statement about having an abortion, that somehow you're going to get in trouble. So when you say legally admissible statement, just for us as leaders, if we choose to use that language so that we can properly, like if the lady goes, oh, well, then I'm not filling that out, I'm not getting in trouble. You know what I mean? So what do you mean by that? And how is it safe for the ladies to fill it out?
Thank you, Mindy, for asking that clarifying question. You do need to sign it, but you also can tell us at what level you're comfortable being referred to. If you only want your initials used, if you want only your first name, if you want to be considered anonymous, we will then keep your personal information confidential. So it's a safe way to get your story and your experience of abortion out there. And I failed to answer to your question. These declarations, then, we have used them and referenced them in cases that we have filed, or excuse me, briefs that we have filed before the U.S. Supreme Court in different kinds of cases. We filed five different briefs in the Dobbs case, and one of those was on behalf of women who were hurt by abortion that had signed the declarations. So they are available in a Dropbox. Again, identifying information is removed. But there is some, unless the woman or man has indicated that they're okay with being identified.
So how many of those do you have now?
We have close to 5,000.
Okay.
Oh, that's great.
And you know, that's just a drop in the bucket from what's out there.
It is a drop in the bucket. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to talk about it today, because I think people are not aware that the declaration is available. And this important program, because people don't really understand. I think you said, Mindy, well, what is the reason? Why would I do that? One of the ways we have been using some of the statements is just by taking out the part that talks of the harm and letting legislators and different people know just those pieces. So it may not be even connected at all. It's just a way of getting the truth out, because we don't hear much about harm of abortion. Mm-hmm. I talked to somebody about, it was probably about 3 months ago, and it was a man, and he said, I have never heard of abortion harming the woman before. He said, I've heard a lot about the harm to the baby. I was completely unaware that the woman suffered harm.
So it should be 50,000 or 500,000 that you have, and that would make more of an impact, wouldn't it?
It would. And if we can gather more, it's really important that we do. Mm-hmm. I would encourage anybody that has an abortion recovery program to seriously consider including time during the program, and I know time is a premium, but to actually let the people fill them out at the conclusion of the program and not dismissing them until they've had a chance to do that. I think that would help people connect with the purpose of telling their story. I was just speaking with somebody the other day, and she talked about the importance of telling your story. And if you can't tell your story, you're not healed yet. I hadn't heard that before. So even if you say it in a room of other people recovering from one thing or another, At least you're speaking of it, and that's part of the recovery. But if you can write it on a piece of paper and submit it and say, yes, I want my pain to have purpose, we
That's
can do
it.
that.
Yes, exactly. We're giving purpose, we're giving meaning to this journey that she's been on. And I think that is a step of the healing, the final step. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, like, so I do all my groups online and virtual. I don't have paper in front of me. And to send paper to them wouldn't guarantee, even if we stopped and they filled it
Sure.
out, that it'd get sent. So I, you have a website and they can fill it out online, correct?
That is correct. If you go to operationoutcry.org, the declaration will pop up pretty quickly there, and you can fill it out right online. Operationoutcry.org, and it's just the outcry of the people that have been hurt, that have had
It's called a
abortion.
declaration, is what you're clicking on there.
Yes, declaration. Thank you,
Okay.
Linda. So once you get there, and the declaration should pop up pretty quickly as you log on to that.
So one of the most notable cases that this de these declaration declaration I can't say that word declarations were used was in overturning Roe. Correct at the stream.
Yes.
So I'd like for you to talk about that, but then I'd also like for you to explain the different uses that you, like state by state or classifications of how you use these declarations.
Well, we have the declarations have been used in a number of cases filed before the U.S. Supreme Court. And in an earlier case, not the one that overturned Roe, but the justices actually credited their perspective that there were a number of women that did come to regret the decision ending the life of the child they once created and sustained. That was the way the court referred to them. To them. And in other places, the court, in a different case, the court talked about the psychological consequences of having abortion and the many people that suffer from that. So we feel like by telling the story, by telling your truth, what your experience has been, and then we use those to help educate judges and justices that may not have any experience with this, or likely they are coming in contact with a number of women that have abortion in their past, but they're still not talking about it, like I didn't talk about it for decades. And so they aren't even aware that they are bumping up against people that may be still suffering pain and hiding in shame. But that is one of the ways. So in the Dobbs case, we did represent those women again, and we reference when we put these when we reference the declarations in a brief, sometimes we take pieces from different ones, but we always give the Dropbox so all of the declarations are accessible to the judges reading the brief and the justices. So that is one example, and that's a high profile case, certainly the Dobbs, the one that reversed Roe. But we also have filed briefs in state courts and in different places across the country, depending on what's coming up and bubbling up through the different court systems. So we may have filed one in your state. And if you've signed a declaration, your voice may have been heard and your pain may have brought purpose. We at least are trying to bring the full message of what abortion really does, what the consequences are, because we've talked a lot about a woman's right to choose and reproductive health. And what we've learned is there's not much healthy about abortion.
No.
And a lot of times, most women that are having abortions, at least in my reading of the declarations that we have, over half of those women, it was not their choice.
Half.
Wow. You know, this isn't something that we talked about talking about, but I just want to get your input on this because I know in my mind, I can go to a place where I think, are we even making a difference legally? Does it even matter if we vote? I mean, this is a little outside of our conversation, but kind of along those lines, if we vote, if we fill out a declaration, you know, are we really making any headway? Are things really changing? I mean, after we saw Roe overturned, yay, that was great. And yet now we're seeing some pretty serious consequences. I don't know if we would call it consequences, but effects of that at the state level, like Ohio, where it's gotten enshrined in the Constitution. I mean, that's pretty intense and serious, and I know they're trying to do that in other states. So, could you just speak to that heart and that mindset, maybe that discouragement that I'm sure others feel? I don't think I'm the only one that thinks that way or feels that way.
No, I'm sure you are not, Mindy, and it is disheartening. And I think part of it is because the pro-abortion arena has been very organized, and they've been good about their messaging in terms of, I mean, calling it reproductive health and calling it choice, woman's choice. And I think both of those things are really not accurate for what the woman ends up experiencing. And so I think it's important for us to continue to speak out. I think there is a saying, and I don't even know who did it, but the only thing for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. And so I think it's still very important for us to be speaking out. And as I mentioned, in speaking with a man 3 or 4 months ago, and he said, I had never heard of a woman being hurt by abortion. So some of us that are swimming in this stream, it's common, but I think we have to remember that out there in the public arena, they're still hearing this reproductive health and woman's choice. And often the man doesn't even think he has a role, or if he owns a role, he may be overexerting his will on the mother that's carrying her child. And so
And so
I
the
hope.
declarations do that. They give us a voice then, not just one little voice out here, in a little town, but by coming together, it gives us a voice that we
Yes.
can say, yes, we are here. Yes, we are here. Yes, we are here. It
Yes.
makes me think of, was it Horton Hears a Who? Back to Dr.
Yes.
Seuss, They're very tiny, but when they all get together and start yelling, their voice can be heard. And I love that the declaration gives us that opportunity.
Linda, it's so interesting that you would mention Horton Hears a Who, because I had not read that book. But when I was writing the first brief I was assisting the Justice Foundation with, the Lord gave me the phrase to use, a person, a person, a person's a person, no matter how
No matter how
small. I had
small.
heard of that. A person's a person, no matter which side of the uterine wall. And
Yes.
I've heard that phrase now come back. So he's given it to more than me.
I love
But
it.
Horton Hears a Who certainly holds a special place in my life.
That's awesome. I love that. I want to just read a scripture because as I brought up that question, the Lord brought this to mind. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 3:13 says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And so the Lord gives us lots of encouragement for not growing weary, and yet we do. And so I'm just having a legal mind in front of us to encourage us to continue in this fight, I think is helpful sometimes because we don't hear a lot from the legal side. I mean, it would be my assumption and my guess, and I could be very wrong, that you and your organization are few in the fight on this side of life. Is that a wrong or incorrect assumption?
In the legal world, in my community, I'm one of the few women. I'm like one of two women who are pro-life, and so it's kind of a lonely world. I am meeting more and more, though, attorneys and people, but from across the country, that are pro-life. So I would say it is a growing. It's a growing number of attorneys that are speaking up and using their talents in a way that serves the Lord by fighting for life. And I always think of the life as Imago Dei, the image of God. So thank you for reading the scriptures. I would like to mention something that well that the that was revealed to me this morning. I've been talking about Brené Brown, who has a Netflix documentary called The Call to Courage. And she says you can't have courage without vulnerability. And I think people that do, I mean, signing a declaration is a good beginning. Some people are then called to also raise their voices in more public ways. And I think even signing a declaration can feel pretty vulnerable. But I would just want to invite their listeners to encourage their people to consider being vulnerable and courageous, because it is a beautiful thing. And Jesus reminded me, hey, don't forget me. He was the most vulnerable and the most courageous. And so I am remembering that he said, yeah, and
I was reading
remember.
a psalm this morning. It talked about the wicked fall into the trap that they have set. And I think they've done that a little bit with their shout your abortion campaign, because they're telling women to come out and say what a wonderful thing abortion is. But I think what it's doing on our side is motivating us. Hey, if they can talk about it, we can
We
talk
can.
about it too. We can speak the truth and we can speak up. And so that's my prayer that it'll just totally backfire on them. And we're going to have a million women that are out there saying abortion hurt.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was at a conference last year for abortion recovery, and one of the speakers there said, you know, I bought that book, Shout Out Your Abortion. And she said, I only bought it because I was curious what is going, because she's a researcher. And so for her, it was important. And she said, when you go through that book, they're not bragging. They're not bragging about
Really?
their abortion. No, they're sad. So I found that to be very fascinating. Probably some are, but the majority of them are, I think, were sad about their abortions and regretting it. And I want to just take the last few minutes, because we have a few minutes left. I'd like for you to explain a little bit more about what Operation Outcry is as a whole and what you're doing.
Thank you, Mindy. Operation Outcry, for the most part, is a collection of voices. And that can be through the declarations. So if you sign a declaration, you can become a member, you will be a member of Operation Outcry, but whether or not you want to be involved or not is really a question then for you. We do hold monthly meetings. We do a Zoom meeting we try to make that the first Monday of the month. That's our goal. And we come together and talk about the challenges we're facing, what we're seeing. We are right now we're focusing on, you had mentioned, Mindy, the battleground states. And so we're talking about what can we do in the battleground states. And right now we've just pulled together a one-page flyer with three examples of what we call listening sessions. So we did a Zoom listening session in May with the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. We did a church-based repentance and testimony session in Texas on June 5th. So we have an example of having a calling forth voices to speak out and tell the truth. We have that example of an event that we did on June 5th. And we did, one of our members did a radio listening session in Florida. Florida is a battleground state this year. And so she called together some women that she knew through abortion recovery programs. And they had a radio producer who was interested in lending voice. And so they talked about the things that we're talking, some of the things we're talking about today, about the harm of abortion and what their experiences had been. And so I think it's important. So those are some ways that people signing a declaration is one thing. Operation Outcry then is encouraging people to raise their voices and trying to find ways. We're not a big organization, so we don't have a lot of money, but we want to help people. We've done some training on how to use social media, how to be prepared for an interview with a radio or TV. And so we've done some different trainings that we now have in the bank, sort of banked. So if you come on board, we can make those kinds of things available to you. So we really are trying to equip and provide tools for the average person like me and like you all to say, okay, I think I can make a statement on my social media, or I want somebody to know part of my story, and I'm okay being known. So that's not for everybody to be known, but some people are called to that. So Operation Outcry is a pooling together of our voices, whether that's on paper or whether that's in public.
I'd love that. And so, is there a cost to join?
There is no cost.
Okay, good. And so, how would someone join?
They would sign a declaration. And on the declaration, they can say if they want to be contacted. And if they do say yes, then hopefully me or someone else they know would, or someone else at the Justice Foundation would contact them. I'm the legal advisor to Operation Outcry Witnesses. So I work with a lot of people that are speaking out just in terms of being prepared and making sure they're ready. And part of that is having gone through healing. So if someone wants or someone thinks they're prepared to speak out, we can help have conversations with people that have been speaking out for many years and what you might be prepared for, or you can jump in. And but we do have some suggestions on what to do on social media
Oh, that's
in
good.
terms of trying not to draw too much fire on yourself.
Yeah, that's a scary
Protect it.
place. Well, so if somebody's already signed a declaration, but they hadn't ever been a part of Operation Outcry, how would they then get plugged in, I guess?
There's two different ways. They could notify info at TXJF. So the Justice Foundation used to be the Texas Justice Foundation.
Oh,
So
okay.
it's now just the Justice Foundation, but it's info at TXJF.org. You could say, I'd like to be included in Operation Outcry, something simple, just a way to contact you, and we'll get a hold of you. Or you could contact me, M. Browning at thejusticefoundation.org. That's my email. So
Okay.
we would love to welcome you. I will say, for the longest time, I didn't feel like I had a place to belong. I mean, I have a legal community and I have a, social community. But when I met other people that were post-abortive and were not ashamed, for the first time, because once we're healed, we can drop the shame. And so I felt for the first time I had a place where I belonged. Not everybody feels that way, I'm sure, but it's the way I have felt. And so I'm glad we would be glad to welcome you into our group.
So if somebody comes on and they're like, I just kind of want to check it out. I'm not really ready to commit, but I would love to get on one of these meetings, the Zoom meetings, and just see what's going on. Is it okay if they come at their own pace and get
Well,
involved at their
sure.
own pace? Okay.
Sure.
So there's no
If they want to
requirements.
come and listen, and it is pretty active right now because we're trying to plan on what to do in battleground states. So they'll hear reports of what's happening, and there are a number of states where we're not quite certain if it's going to be on the ballot. We know it is on the ballot in Florida. Missouri is kind of up in the air. Montana is up in the air. Arkansas, as I understand it, looks like it's going to be in the bottle on the ballot, but it could be up in the air. So we're having those kinds of conversations. And people that have tried the radio, tried the Zoom, tried the church setting, we're getting reports back about those. So
That's amazing. So remind me again what the day and time of the month is of your monthly Zoom meeting.
we try to do the first Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Central. So if you send to info at txjf.org and just say, I'd like to be included in the meeting, I signed a declaration previously, or I just signed one and here it is, then we'll include them. They'll get a notice. I will say that when you get notice, we are careful who participates. So you do have to register. So
Okay.
once you get the notice, you do have to go online and then it'll record your email as an acceptable email on our end. So we want to keep unfriendly faces out of our group. I'll say it that way.
That's a good way to say it. And real quick on those declarations, say I like for instance, I'm pretty sure I signed one, but I don't remember. And if I did, it was probably back in the late 90s. So is there a way to find out if you actually did sign one?
Yes, you can find out, and you could do the info at txjf.org. I would love to know if you're asking, because if you are asking and you might want to be involved, I'd want to be sure you're included in a meeting coming up. So, but you can ask, and it's helpful to know what state you might have been in when you signed that and what name you would have had at the time. We're women, so sometimes our names change.
That's right.
So if in the 90s, you had a different name, Mindy, then you might say, I think I might have signed it. It could be under either one of these two names. You could do
Right.
that. And we can
Yeah.
check on that. And I
Okay.
think I was in Texas. It's helpful to know the state.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. So I'm thinking I was in Colorado. It was before I was married, but did I sign one then or did I sign one later? So anyway,
And you could say
I
it
would
might
love
be
to know.
Colorado or it might be
Tennessee. Yeah.
somewhere else.
Yeah. All
So
right.
it's good to have some idea. We do have them divided by state because we have made them available on occasion to different legislators, state legislators that are working on life issues, and we let them know that they do have some women in their state that have had abortion harm. And so if the person has given us permission to use their information or to use it even with maybe only initials or first name in whatever form it's been
Is
authorized,
there
is what
ever
we do.
opportunity for these women to actually be in person testifying on a state level?
Yes, there are, and we have testified. And so if you indicate that you'd be interested, and if something starts happening in your state, you might contact us and say, hey, is Operation Outcry going to be speaking out? And we can at least either if we're not organizing something, try to put you in touch with someone local that might be. We do have an interesting story. I don't know if you have time for this.
We have a few minutes. Go ahead.
We have in Montana, they passed a couple of pro-life laws that were challenged. And so they're being sued right now to try to keep those laws from being effective. And we have a person in Montana that has signed the declaration and has been aware of Operation Outcry for a time. And she shared the declarations with her attorney general, and they looked at those, and they're actually preparing to depose one of the women in the that had signed a declaration. Was asked, would she be willing to be deposed as a witness in support of the legislation that is being challenged? And so that is ongoing. In fact, keep her in your prayers. It's coming up this week, that deposition. So if you, she could have said no. And so I don't want anybody to think, oh, I'm going to get roped into something I don't want to be in. There's never that problem. So you can always move or be involved at the level that you're comfortable with. So
And that's voluntary. Now, don't you have a group? Is it through Operation Outcry that a group of women are going to the United States or Washington, D.C. or somewhere to speak? What, am I misunderstanding that?
no, you are not misunderstanding. A small group of us are going to the RNC, so we're hopeful of
Oh,
having an impact there. We have actually buttons that say abortion hurt me, ask me how I know. And so we're praying and believing that we can have an impact there. But we've also been invited. Some of it I mentioned we had a Zoom listening session for the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. We did that in the middle of May, and that has been released more broadly to a number of places. And the Susan B. Anthony saw that and saw some of those testimonies. And we're scheduled to go to Washington, D.C. Next or in a couple of weeks. Some of the women whose testimonies they observed and who have been asked, would you be willing? And they have said yes. So there could be that the Susan B. Anthony is going to be preparing some, I don't know what to call them, I'll just call them ads, but to push out some truth ads, I'll call them truth ads, in these battleground states about the harm of abortion, to try to find other ways of releasing voices and the truth, to get the truth out. Because I think that's the
fabulous.
balance. Because of the shame people like me have hidden in, it has kept our voices silent. And that's one of the ways the secret is not safer than the lie. I really think it's that I have done myself a disservice and the younger women in the world a disservice by keeping silent so long.
Well, and we do our Christian community a disservice because we remain ineffective for Jesus,
Yes.
because we are now unable to share what he has actually done for us. Oh God, Christ has forgiven us, but of what? You know, I mean, can I tell somebody that Christ has forgiven me for abortion and, you know, confidently if I can't talk about my abortion? I can't, you know, I mean, it's like, well, yeah, he's forgiven me. Well, what a, oh, just some sins, you know,
Just some
and
stuff.
it just keeps us
Yeah.
ineffective, you know, it really does. So, well, thank you so much for coming on
Oh.
and joining us. This is really exciting and good stuff. I love what you're doing with Operation Outcry, and I'm actually interested. So you might be seeing me on there one or two times. I'm curious. I'm more curious than anything to see what's going on and, you know, see if God has something there or not. I don't know. But anyway, I want to encourage all of our leaders to make those declarations more of a
Available.
priority. And yeah,
Yes.
available and a priority. I'm going to do the same thing. I make them available, but I have not made them a priority. And so I'm going to do more, a more intentional job of explaining those and explaining the value and importance of those and the safe, because they're safe, you know, that the women are safe. I just don't want
Yes.
them to think that we're putting them into anything that's unsafe. But because we do, like Linda said, if we had 50,000 or 500,000, and we do have that many women
They're out there.
and
Oh,
men, yeah.
absolutely.
Well,
So we,
there's millions out there. We know that.
yeah. So if the millions are hurting and we know that they are, then those declarations shouldn't be too hard to get.
Oh, I am so excited and so thankful. That is just music to my ears. And you know, I will share my phone number with you
Oh,
because if you are.
why don't you hold off on that? I don't want to put it in the radio or in the podcast. What we'll do is we'll shut it off here in just a second, and I'll get it, and then I could put it. I can put it in the show notes if you want, or we
Well,
can
I was
just.
just thinking if individuals had people that had questions, I'd be glad to talk with leaders that have
Okay.
people that asking questions. If they have questions for
Yeah.
me, I'd
Yeah.
be glad to answer those questions. Not necessarily for everyone that might be signing a declaration, but if leaders are have
Okay.
questions, I'd be glad to
Okay.
answer those questions because I think that would help also
Okay. Okay.
alleviate the sort of the mystery of it.
All right. Well, just in case this podcast falls into somebody who, is nefarious, let's just let them contact you by email, and then you can sift through them better. And then you aren't getting a
Okay.
crazy call. I
That
just feel more
email was
comfortable with that.
M. Browning at justicefoundation.org, right?
It's the Justice
The Justice.
Foundation.org.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah,
The
and I'll
Justice
put that in
Foundation.
the show notes for sure. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been great.
Oh, thank you both. How lovely. I'm very thankful. Bless you.